I think then it, as they're all battling, now that they have Armin back, Peck goes to blow off Aaron's nape, if I remember correctly. That this is in the next scenes, correct? Peck has a
Well, no,
really.
because Z if Zeke is dead by now, all the Titans are down. Like all the colossal Titans are gone. They
Yeah,
stopped
all the
moving.
colossal titans below Aaron are down. So now, right?
They stopped moving.
And so then Aaron's still controlling the polymorph titans, whatever we're really calling them.
That's a good description, actually.
Fighting
Yeah, Super
Polygon
Smash.
Team.
Yes, that's literally it. Polygon Team. That's literally what it is. They someone just like was like, you know,
That's
playing Super
awesome.
Smash on the N64 was just like, all right. What if we make like 100 of them?
1300.
That's right. So Peck goes to blow off Aaron's nape. She has some cool scenes and such. And Gabby has a moment too. I can't remember specifically what she did. I think she shot someone with her sniper rifle. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm
She
sorry, guys.
does. I can't remember who.
Yeah.
She
But
does.
you know, they're just like, hey, Gabby's cool, is what they tried to do.
Does she shoot the Titan that had Armin?
You're
Okay.
right. Yeah.
She shoots it, and that's what throws it off its track, and then that's what allows Mikasa to get in there and whoosh.
That's right.
Gotcha.
So
Watch out.
they blow up on they blow Aaron's nape, and at they blow up Aaron's nape.
And there you go.
Thank you. And at this point, we're thinking, or I think everybody in the show is like, okay, cool, like you know, this is good, you know, or this is it. You know, hopefully Aaron's dead. And as this is happening, though, the Titan, or not the Titan, it's like the centipede bug that gave Ymir the
Oh, the thing is
powers.
freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it starts to like, it wants to come back in contact with, is it Aaron?
Oh, yeah. Aaron's head.
Aaron's head.
Same thing has happened last time, basically.
Yes. So it wants to come back with Aaron's head. And as it starts to come out of the body itself, it's releasing this gas. And all the people that are, all the Eldians that are on the cliff, and at this point also, I've had to say, Falco takes everybody off of Aaron's big Titan body or whatever, and puts them on the cliff where you see where all the other people were there. You know, you had like the Marleyan military, and then you had the Eldians who had a front row seat to watching their kids get slaughtered. And so you have these cool moments where, you know, Reiner gets to see his mom, Gabby gets to see her parents, Peck and Annie get to see their family. But as this centipede creature starts to come out of Aaron's body, it starts to release this gas, and base and what's happening is this gas is going to turn any Eldian, any that's nearby into a Titan, which is bad news bears. At this point, I think it's Levi, who says, you know, like, hey, like only me and Mikasa, like we can resist this. We are part of that bloodline. We're
Ackermans
the
and Titans
Ackermans.
can resist it.
Exactly. So they go up on they get up, those Mikasa and Levi get on Falco's back, and they leave the cliffside. You have this really cool moment with Jean and Connie, and I was so mad at the scene when it first
What?
happened. No. I'm mad because they turn into Titans, and I was at that moment. I was so mad because I didn't want. I didn't. I love Jean. I did not want Jean to die. I didn't want him to turn into a Titan. And just really, yeah, I was very frustrated with that part. So this centipede alien thing is trying to get back to Aaron's head, and Reiner notices this, and right away he jumps down and is just, you know, this centipede thing is massive. It's probably about the same height as Reiner or so, maybe a little bit shorter when Reiner is in his armor titan body. And like a centipede, it's, you know, just extremely long. And so he's holding off on this titan. Annie comes in and joins. I believe Peck comes in and joins. they're trying to stop this. And so then Falco flies up and they're going to go and attack. They're going to go and try to go kill Aaron. And Armin turns into his colossal titan. And right after he does that, Aaron shows up in his big, like, attack titan, but it's also like colossal. It's like the same size as Armin, titan. And they're both about to have a big, you know, fight. They're so big, and their punches take forever. It honestly reminded me of the ending of Lion King when Simba and Simba and Scar going at it. And just this great scene. It reminded me also of a few episodes earlier when Armin and Aaron fight in that conference room or whatever, and everything, when Aaron's like telling Mikasa that, you know, she doesn't have a will, she has to do whatever he says and other stuff like that. So as they're fighting, though, Levi and Mikasa, they drop down from Falco, and we have a cool action sequence of Mikasa dodging everything, and ultimately she gets into Aaron's mouth in his titan body, and she sees Aaron. Aaron's eyes were closed, and then when Mikasa goes in there, finally he opens his eyes, and Mikasa cuts his head off. We'll stop right there.
Oh, just before the good part.
Oh yeah, right where everything else gets explained. Yeah. Yeah. This is the end of episode 2 or chapter 2 of this part of the 3.
She also kisses his decapitated head.
Yeah. Ben, you're muted.
Just the way we like you.
No, just kidding. I know I'm not muted now.
Oh, that did scare me for a second.
Yeah, that was definitely the last part, is her kissing beheaded Aaron.
Yeah, decapitated Aaron.
Which, okay, I didn't know if that was in the next one or not.
This is the end scene. Yeah. Like, whoa. Okay. I know, because I watched episodically, and I'm like,
that's right.
What a place to end it. Yep. Can I jump back 1 second, though? Because
there's a lot I skipped.
No, you mentioned it. It's just that scene. I was also upset that I didn't want Jean to die. Connie, I really like Connie, but like, love Jean. And I was so, because I was wondering if he would die. You know what I mean? Like, he's a regular dude. Could he's very important. Like, if they're going to kill somebody, this is kind of a person you could kill. And it didn't want it to happen. And then, but that's that farewell where they're just like, linking arms, waiting for the inevitable, and he kind of gets like ribs Connie, and he's like, dude, this is all your fault. Or wait, is it the other way around? No. Is it Jean that says it to Connie, or Connie says it to Jean? Because way back.
I don't remember.
Either way, whoever says it to whoever, they just are just good old fashioned, like, hey, you know, like, we're cadets again, and
camaraderie.
Camaraderie is a great word, and it was just so touching. I was like, man, like, what a, because a lot of these deaths are violent, they're sudden, they're quick, but this one is like a send-off, and I was like, man, what a way to do that. And then it was super sad. It reminded me of with what's his name, the general or whatever, Pixis, when Pixis turns into a titan and they see him later and they're like, oh no, it's Commander Pixis. What?
Yep.
Like that sorrow of like, I can't fight them, but they're attacking me, is just heavy. It's a palatable thing. Because they're gone. Like, they're titans now. So the Jean that I knew and love and Connie, they're dead, quote unquote. But then, yeah, to see them show up with Reiner and you're like, oh no, it's mom and dad and Jean. And it was tough. It was a tough scene. I don't know that I expected them to run off as well. It made sense once it happened. Like that worm centipede thing created an army and then like took them off the cliff. I thought they were just going to like slaughter all the other people because that's why they left. But nope, they had made
it. It needed help. It needed help right then. So all those Titans got to go help that worm thing.
We got to see some Titans running one last time.
Yes.
Yes.
Missed that. I did forget also a very, very important scene that happens before Mikasa cuts off Eren's head.
Is it with Ymir?
She has a vision. She's up in the sky with Falco. It's before her and Levi jump. She has a vision where her and Eren are in a cabin in the woods living life.
Oh, yeah.
They see, you know, Eren's chopping wood. He's just seems like a regular dude again. And he explains to her, you know, Armin's probably looking for me, or us, I only have a few more years of life left and I want to spend them with you. And such. And he tells her, you know, because you told me you love me right before the rumbling was to happen. There's that scene where they have that fun scene where it kind of does seem like almost like they're
a wedding
scene. Yeah. And so if Mikasa, she kind of just froze in that conversation with Eren. But if she was to tell him, you know, I love you, he would have gone... You know, he would have not done the rumbling. He would have ran off with Mikasa. He would have lived his last 4 years or whatever. I can't remember how much years he has left, but and such. And so,
alternate history.
Johnny, what do you think? Do you think this is just in her head, or do you think this actually would have happened if she had said it?
I think it's what would have happened. I think it's Ymir showing her.
Oh, okay.
What would have? I would agree. There's a lot of weird path stuff, and we've had so many visions this particular episode, especially. I agree with Johnny. I think it was like, here's what would have had if you had been brave enough to say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Which is pretty cruel. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, quite. Great storytelling, too, because at the beginning of the first episode of this two-parter, when they're at the tree and their kids... It's mm-hmm. it's a reversal, almost word for word. Oh, I was asleep. Hey, why are you crying? Blah, blah, blah. Like, they did a really good, nice circle there.
Yeah.
Yep. Great circle.
Yeah. Eren was crying in the first one, then Mikasa was crying in her vision.
Ah.
Chest is singing in both.
Yes. True. Yeah.
On to the next episode.
We move it. Oh, we move it. Oh, we move it.
Yeah.
So it starts off with Armin and Eren as children.
Yeah, this was a very visions episode.
Yes. And when they first start talking, I don't know about you guys, but obviously, like, looking at their age and everything, I was like, they look like they were in the very first episode, their age. They look like they're 11 years old or something like that. So I'm like, is this like of the past? But the way they're talking, it doesn't really seem that way. It seems like Eren knows, you know, so much about the Titans, and so does Armin. And so you get this sense that this is a conversation between two friends and that have that's like basically kind of currently happening. And so what's really happening is Eren is they're going to the time before the rumble. Is it right after the rumbling starts?
That what? Sorry.
That he has these conversations with each of the his individual, like he has one with Mikasa, one with Armin, one with Connie, whatever, right?
Oh yeah, he erases the memories of it.
I think they're all with Armin. They're all with Armin, I think.
One no, of them, well, Mikasa walks up and she's like, "Oh, you got your memories back too."
Oh yeah.
So, but I'm trying to remember the timeline. I think because he has the founding Titan's power and like Zeke's power as well, because that's how he talked to all the Eldians. So I think it's sometime like during the rumbling. I don't think it's because they talk about how, like, we'll get to this part, but Aaron talks about how he's going to kill 80% of the Earth. And Armin is like, no, you know? So it's not like Aaron and Armin are having this conversation right then and there. At some point in the past, Armin and Aaron are having this conversation in this, kind of like a in this weird world where Aaron can make anything like he can teleport you anywhere. He can, you know, almost like a, yeah, I don't know really how to explain it, but he can show Armin anything. You know, it's like Aaron, it actually reminds me more of Zeke and Aaron when they were in the past, and Zeke was showing Aaron his past, right? He was jumping from location to location. So, Okay. So Armin and Aaron start talking, and Aaron basically tells him, you know, his plan that he's going to kill 80% of the world. Obviously, you know, Armin's like, no, you can't do this. Like, this is just wrong. Aaron explains to Armin, look, if I don't do it, you know, humanity is going to do it anyways. If I don't kill everybody, you know, Marley's going to ultimately do it, and such. And so Aaron recognizes that basically the world is going to kind of like destroy itself. And so Aaron is going to create a scenario where he'll kill 80% of the world, and that will put basically Paradis Island and the rest of the world on the same power scale. And in that way, they will have, you know, like equal say against each other, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, he knows that Armin, Mikasa, Jean, Levi and them, they're all going to fight against Aaron. And so they're going to look like, you know, like they, you know, they care for the world. They could, you know, if you know, they're from Paradise Island, and if, you know, if they don't stop Aaron, you know, will trample the whole earth, and then they'll be, you know, the rulers of the world. But instead, you know, they're going to try to stop Aaron from killing everybody. So they'll also will come across as heroes. And that will, you know, ultimately help them, you know, negotiating peace for a time and such. And so it's there's a lot to unfold here. There's way too much to unfold. So I'm going to stop right now and just ask, like, initial thoughts. Like, when this conversation happened, like, my first thought was, okay, Aaron, I thought you were just literally only evil, like, this whole season. And, like, I understand more now. Like, I get why you're doing what you're doing. That was my thought. So, what were your guys' thoughts?
This is what we're all here for, right?
Yeah, it was a lot. And actually, even the ending scene, like, all the way through the credits, like, lent a lot of perspective on what happened, which is insane. But I would say it's one of those things where, I guess the best summary is, like, person with power, or that is given power, does what he thinks is best to try to save everyone. And he uses, like, whatever means at hand and tries to be the sacrificial hero, but I still just don't agree, like, at all with what he did ultimately. Like, it's like, okay, sure, like, you had all this power and this visions, but the ending credit scene, which I know we haven't talked about, like, shows the fertility of all that. Like, and even before that, like, even just Historia coming and being like, yeah, we're still gonna fight, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, dude, like, right after all this, like, you're still gonna have wars and stuff. Like, he didn't accomplish what he set out to accomplish. And so you're like, you killed 80% of the earth because you said it was the only way. And yet the story shows that it didn't do what you thought it would do.
I don't think he was doing it to stop fighting altogether. I think it was just to even the playing field, right?
My thought wasn't actually, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I do think it's to even the playing field, but my thought was Aaron's goal was to make sure, for the most part, his friends could live a long life and not, and such. And so, I mean, we'll get to that ending scene, but I think it kind of shows that his friends lived, in a sense, a peaceful life. Because, like, my thought was Aaron, because it, with his conversation with Armin, you know, he starts talking about, you know, time is just, it's weird to him now. He sees, the future and the past are all kind of blended together. He's going crazy. And so I think, like, Aaron knows that, like the world's going to destroy itself no matter what. And so I don't look at Aaron trying to be like, I'm going to make sure the world doesn't destroy itself forever. I look at it more as Aaron's like, I'm just going to make sure my friends, I'm going to go down the path that my friends can live a good life. There are, you know, they're going to destroy each other anyways. I'll destroy 80% of the world. And then because we level the playing field for a time, my friends can live a prosperous life in a sense. But you
know, we'll then he did accomplish his goal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's still messed up. I think there are some good outcomes for what he did. I don't think it was worth the cost. I think if we can, even if we just zero in on one thing that he did to accomplish all this with his mother. we don't have to talk about anything else. That alone to me is unacceptable. Unacceptable.
We should probably explain what happened, because when you just say something like what he did with his mom, and then so everybody goes,
what he did.
There's a very poignant scene where his mom turns into a Titan early on in the show. And
No.
She gets eaten by a Titan.
He gets eaten by a Titan with his mom.
Yep. Sorry. You're good.
It's been a long night, folks.
Yeah. I guess sounds like it.
Aaron reveals that he controlled the Titan that ate his mom to do it on purpose, in order to save another figure that was at stake, because that was how the game needed to go, basically.
Right. That needed to happen to accomplish
the goal. He had to kill his mom. Mm-hmm. And there's also that whole, like, time travel, like, headache of, like, he had to influence his own life. And, you know what I mean? Like, he had, like, his younger self had to see his mom get eaten to be that hateful, to do the thing, and then that other, you know, like, Marco has to live, and da da da, and so it's just like a whole thing of, like, complexities. But at the end of the day, like Ben said, like, he chose to have his mom get eaten. Yeah. But I mean, he chose a lot of things. He also told Mikasa, like, he tried to tell his friends multiple times, tried to change the histories to where they could stop him earlier by basically telling them to, like, get the heck away from him and never be friends again. Mm-hmm. And that always failed. And so he quit doing that, even though I think that's last time. I remember we were talking about it, and he was such a jerk to Mikasa, and we were all like, what are you doing? You're such a just terrible person. And I think it could have been one last attempt to be like, just get away. Like, just forget about me. But then him and Armin have that buddy-buddy, like, teasing each other about girls moment, where he's just like, no, I want her to remember me forever. And Armin's like, man, I didn't realize you were such a sentimental fool.
Oh man, it's so much.
Also, Armin might have either hinted that he liked Mikasa, or he was hinting about Jean, because he has that face. There's only one face in Attack on Titan that's like anime-ish, and it's when they're like cringing a little bit, and he has that face of like, yeah, she might have already found someone else, and that made me laugh. Because I was like, this is so surreal that this is happening while they're standing in a pool of blood.
But it wasn't blood at that time. But
yeah, it was still the ocean, I guess.
Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah.
Prop blood.
Cole, why don't you take a turn there? Me and Chess shared some thought. Well, all three of us did.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to justify Aaron's thought process at all, but as a storytelling device, this founder attack Titan mix where he can control the past before he had these powers is such an interesting way of ending this story. It still boggles my mind, and I feel like I haven't grasped it all yet. And I'm really excited to rewatch again, like the whole story, the entire show. Really try to figure this out, because it's probably a lot smarter than I'm thinking right now. It's probably going to, you know, everything's going to button up real nice. So I'll be like, oh, this is what it meant. Oh, this is what it meant. So, yeah, getting away from what Aaron did and why it was bad, and probably would have been best if he just ran off with Mikasa and died after 4 years. Did I cut out again?
No. Okay. Just letting it sink in, man.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So then,
that's it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So then Aaron talks about, like, yeah, he loves Mikasa. He doesn't want her to get married to anybody else. You know, like Chess was saying, which is really cool because, you know, especially after seeing Aaron treat Mikasa like crap the last time they saw each other, you know, it was cool to see that he does love her, and wants to be with her. And so I think that this is the last scene with Aaron. I think so Armin and Aaron hug, and then Armin comes to at the present time now. So he's no longer a Titan. There's a lot of smoke around and everything, and he sees Mikasa holding Aaron's head. And he just screams, you know, bloody murder, runs over to Mikasa and holds Aaron's head, and everything. And it's just a really, really cool, sad moment. Mikasa is kind of like dead emotionally, it seems like. She's just like, I'm going to go and hide his or bury his body, she's gonna take him back to Paradise Island and bury his body under the tree, and everything, and she needs to go and sneak away to do it, because obviously, like, all of Marley wants to, like, you know, desecrate his body for all that he's done. So she goes and sneaks away.
So she's doing that by herself. Think that body's rotten by the time she gets to Paradise Island?
Oh my gosh.
Just a little, you know, just a little aspects of the show that you kind of overlook.
Yeah. And then what's kind of cool is that, you know, we just had this scene with Armin and Aaron, and, you know, most of the team, Levi, Mikasa, Jean, Connie, Reiner, I think Annie. I don't remember if Annie was part of it or not. I think it's everybody but Peck, right? He had memories with, like, their memories are restored. They remember a conversation that they had with Aaron, which is just, I thought was just so cool. You know, because, like, to me, it still shows that, you know, Aaron cared about these people. These were his friends. These were, you know, these are ones he loved, and he wanted to have those conversations with them, and just explain to them why he did what he did. whether they agree with it or not. But I thought it was really funny when Peck was like, oh, I don't have any memory with him. It would have been nice to talk with him or something like that. It's just like,
yeah.
I just thought it was funny.
Can I jump in?
Of course.
I wish everybody was here for this, cause I want everyone's opinion here, but like, this is where a lot of moments lost it for me. This is why the show didn't have the final punch I was hoping for, is because a lot of those moments that should have been super special and emotional to me were not, because like, I was not sad that Aaron was gone, and I did not appreciate, I didn't have an appreciation for how his friends were responding, because I didn't agree with what Aaron did. Like, while what he did for his friends was incredible, to me, that wasn't worth what he did. And so like, I didn't have this huge appreciation for seeing all of his friends just be like emotional. I didn't feel for Armin and Mikasa for Aaron dying, because I didn't care that he was dead. Like, I didn't have any of those emotions. And so like, I thought so much of the show was fantastic. So much of this specific episode was fantastic. But a lot of those final punches of the show, which I think meant so much to so many people, did not land for me. And so that's like, I finished the show and I was like, everything was so good. But like the last 15 minutes, which I'm sure there were people crying. I read so many comments. So many people just loved it so much. And oh my goodness, Aaron's sacrifice. And everyone's just pouring out on it. And I'm like, I just didn't feel all those things, because I can't get over the fact that I just do not agree with what Aaron did. And that's like the premise of the entire show. So that's what I'm still working through, guys.
Well, I think it's because it's so tragic that he was destined or determined to do this terrible thing, and yet he felt it necessary to keep going back to his friends, being the old Aaron, like trying to justify himself, but knowing that they wouldn't be on board, so he always had to like erase their memories. Like, you're not going to be able to talk me out of this, so I'm just going to like cut this out of your mind for now. And it is a tragedy, because he did such a horrible thing, but he did it because he loved those people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a huge theme at the end, especially because, like, you know, if Mikasa would have just said, I love you, 80% of the world wouldn't be dead right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then your Mir's little tie in where, like, she loved King Fritz so much for no reason. What was the reason? She didn't really have one, right?
Stockholm Syndrome.
She
didn't really have one.
And then they had that little thing of like, what if she didn't jump in front of that spear? Like, you see King Fritz dead there with the spear, and mm-hmm. she's hugging her kids. Like, no Titan would have ever been created if she didn't do that. Or like, that her kids wouldn't have become these Titans, you know? So like, this theme of love and tragedy are like swirling around the whole thing. So I agree with you, Ben. I was not sad that Aaron was dead, but it was still tragic.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I think the most tragic part of it for me was definitely the element of what he could have had, like what you're referencing with the, like, it, regardless of if Mikasa said, I love you or not, like that, he could have just chosen that, like, to run away and live out that last 4 years with Mikasa. And he, you know, hypothetically, according to the show, he's choosing everybody, right? He's not, instead of being selfish and just him and Mikasa, he's choosing, he wants everybody to live a long life. And we see that at the end credits, you know, everybody's showing up to the grave and like those scenes of like paying their respects and remembering. And I'm pretty sure Mikasa shows up with another dude, right? With a pregnant. Yeah. We assume it's Jean. Is it Jean?
Yeah, I think it's Jean.
I hope it's Jean. Good on you, Jean. What did we say in the other episode? Good for you, Jean.
Yeah, good for you, buddy.
Yeah, good for Jean.
Wasn't there that weird memory where Mikasa had a baby and it was Jean?
Mm-hmm. It was Jean. Yeah. We never figured out, like, was this a dream or, and it probably was a vision or something.
It's probably a future vision, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though
he so, did. even though he'd be dead. Yeah, I was sad for Aaron in the sense of like, dude, you did have another choice, buddy. Like, at the end of the day, even though you said I have no choice, like, that was that, and that's the whole premise, I guess, for me. That's the whole premise of the show is like, did he have a choice or not? Because that's what the show kind of struggles for you to wrestle through is like, are we just bound up in fate? And Aaron was destined to play this out, or did he basically influence himself to do this? It's kind of the question that's left up for you to decide if he sent his mom to die and blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah, so I gotta, this is how I view it. We're all dead.
Yeah, let's go, Johnny.
Okay. We all have at least two kids, correct?
At least.
Okay. Let's say hypothetical situation. If there is someone that is saying, you know, your eldest is going to die and your second child is going to die, or you yourself can kill your eldest and then your second child will live.
Oh gosh, you suck.
That's the idea that I look at it as. Like, do I want to obviously kill my child? No. But if it's to give life to my second child, I'm gonna do it and everything. And so like that's why it's like, is it really a choice or not? I don't really view it as that. Like, okay, there you go. I mean, this is where we disagree. Yeah. Like,
yep. So just like our last episode, Johnny.
Oh yes.
to me this is the same thing. Like, yeah. To me, my opinion of whether to kill you or not before talking may
Which
not have
is
been
how
the most...
Johnny becomes a murderer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mine is not. The guy,
right away, the guy comes to me. He's like, "Okay, here's your options." I just like take the gun and shoot my oldest. Like that's what you know. Just...
You're like, I don't even need to hear the rest. This is easy. I watched the show on this.
Coke or Pepsi, buddy. It was Coke or Pepsi.
Oh my gosh! Sorry. Go on, man.
No, my point was just. The wanting to talk to you first is not necessarily the logical thing to do. Just like for me, it's just, I'm always just not going to choose to do the wrong first to justify other things. I always want to try to figure it out first, which may not be the most logical or sensible. So same as I would talk to you before I would kill you, even though that might not make sense. I would want as Aaron to still, even though I've seen these futures, I still want to go through every step to try to make things right rather than choose all this wrong to create a better future. That's how I would look.
It's a pretty, like, it's couched in a lot of, you know, like, it's a horror turned thriller apocalyptic anime, but there's a lot of moral philosophy that is being thrown out is basically like the conundrum that you threw out, Johnny. Are you due to passivity in not choosing to save one of your, we'll focus on the positive. You're not choosing to save your second child. So are you to blame then for the death, even if you didn't physically do it? You know what I mean? That's kind of the question at hand. Like, if you don't kill 80% of the world, then all is, you know, all this other stuff's going to happen. So because you selfishly chose this path to run away with Mikasa, then maybe more is going to die, or it all, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what he's wrestling through. And there's not a clear, like, those are all like the questions that get thrown out in like ethics class and stuff is like, what, and there's not a clear answer is the reason that professors throw these questions out is like,
right.
People are going to come down on different sides of the fence and be like, I'm going to do this. And you're like, well, why are you going to do that? And like, I don't know, but I'm going to talk to my friend before he chooses Coke or Pepsi. But yeah, it was tough. I think one of the hardest things for me was just seeing like the fertility of history. Like, as the credits roll, it's just war after war after war after war after war. And all you end up with is Aaron's gravestone. It's just a little marker, and then it gets buried by a tree. And then we come full circle with the guy going in the tree. I'm like, are we going to start this whole thing over again? Is that what this is going to be? Ymir's walking back in. Ymir's walking back into the tree, gonna this little boy is gonna become a Titan. I don't think that's what it's it, but it was some imagery at play there.
Yeah.
Like history's been so long gone that we've, you know, it was casting back to when Ymir walked into her little tree and the whole world changed, and who knows if it'll happen again, sort of thing. So, or maybe the dog gets taken over and it's a bunch of dog Titans.
Oh man,
could have been.
Yeah, there's still some, I think there's still some interesting scenes that continue to happen. You have on Paradis Island, you have like the Jaegerists are, they have formed like a military there. They're on edge and everything.
And Historia is leading it.
Is she leading it?
Yeah, she was, right?
I don't remember her leading it. I just remember she gave birth.
Which
she wasn't pictured in the military part of it. She was pictured with the Asian lady that was Mikasa's ancestor. And they were looking out over the sea, but they didn't have any military personnel with them. So I don't know if she's part of that or not.
So, but she's the one that wrote them the letters, and that when they're coming on the envoy, that's why my brain jumped to it. Because saw them reading that and I assumed she was in charge of something. Probably misassumed that. However, the scene where she gives birth, I can't remember. I felt like I had this moment of like, what was the timing of that scene? Was that when a Titan died? I felt like it was the flashing of those scenes was coinciding with like that. And I'm assuming the Titan powers are gone.
I thought she gave birth in the final chapter. And at that point, there are no Titans.
There are. Okay. I just want to make sure. Because I just had this moment where she's giving birth and I'm like, what if? And I just had to, I specifically remembered it. I was going to ask y'all about that, but I'm glad to hear that I was probably wrong that there would be any Titans.
Sure.
I have to go rewatch.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I need to just rewatch it and pay attention to that scene.
It's worth a rewatch.
Worth a rewatch of the series.
So then we have, Armin, Peck, Reiner, Annie, Connie, and John, all on this boat that's going to Paradis Island. And like you mentioned, they're reading a letter from Historia, and they're, you know, they're ultimately trying to come to Paradis Island to seek peace. You know, they don't want any more war. They want to, you know, live a peaceful life, and such. I can't remember all the conversation details behind it. I remember there's some good quips, but I can't remember if anything stands out specifically. Do you remember, Gold?
Nope.
Okay.
The main thing is they're envoys for the rest of the world to Paradise Island. Gonna tell Aaron's story. That's it.
Well, and Levi passes out lollipops.
Levi, he's doing his thing.
That's good.
And then they show Mikasa. She's under the tree where Aaron is buried, and she's speaking out loud, saying, you know, hey, you know, your friends are coming to visit. It'll be great to see them. She has an emotional moment where she just wants to see Aaron again. And this bird comes by and lifts the scarf that she's wearing that Aaron gave her. And I think like this scene is signifying, you know, Aaron's always wanted to be a bird. I don't know if this is like reincarnation that now he's this bird specifically, but
I think it's
supposed to be symbolic, you know, that Aaron's him. Finally free.
That's definitely him.
It could be. I mean, reincarnation is a semi-popular belief out east. So
it looked like him.
It looked like him. and so
evidence right there.
Yeah. And then so then this is when the credits scene starts to roll.
Yeah.
And this is, so yeah, I'm interested in your guys' take. So through the credit scene, what they show, it's really an overshot of the tree, and then the background is like the city that Aaron's from. Man, this was trivia. Is it Ginganchu or something? What is it? You remember, Cole? You always know this stuff.
Shiganchu. There you go. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So it's overlook of that city, and you can tell like time's kind of flying by really fast. Some buildings are getting taller, and then you see like different people visiting the grave.
It gets to be modern. There's a car.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then they show as if someone had just died, and it's like a funeral service, and they show like this older woman, and she has Aaron's scarf on her, which we're assumed to be Mikasa. Mm-hmm. So real quick, my thought was, okay, so Mikasa lived, till she was, 70, 80, 90 years old. And so far nothing bad has happened to Paradise Island or the city or whatever. And then as time continues to go, you see buildings get a lot taller, and then military presence starts coming in. A lot of buildings get on fire, missiles start dropping, and the whole world is kind of now this wasteland. And now you have this final scene of, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but there's this person walking along with their dog. In the tree that Aaron was buried at, it has evolved now to this very, very, very big tree that is very reminiscent of the tree that Ymir fell down 2,000 plus years ago, where she found that centipede alien creature to give her Titan powers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay. So I would love to know your guys' impressions or thoughts on the credits.
Mm. Well, I feel like Jess has shared a little bit of his thought, like the futility of it all. That's what it's kind of seems to be portraying, both from the war scenes and then showing the tree like, oh, here we go again. I feel like that's kind of what it's showing. Now, whether it's just supposed to be symbolism or it's literally saying like, hey, this is just going to happen all over again.
Kind of proving Zeke's point in a way. There's this dual moment of like, well, speaking of beliefs that are popular more on the eastern side of the world, there is a circular view of just like things are pretty cyclical and
Chest is the Japanese expert.
LOL.
Yeah, he is.
He was there.
So Robert Jordan for the Wheel of Time series, which is now a show, so more people know about that. He pulled a lot of Eastern stuff, and like the wheel, like literally that ages come and go and the Wheel of Time turns. And it's this idea that just history repeats itself on and on and on. And this idea of, hey, Aaron accomplished what he's going to do, and she enjoyed her life. And we assume most everybody else did too. But humanity is still going to kill itself, blow itself up. And we're just going to keep spin around, going in circles in history. And I genuinely do think it was a call back to Ymir and like, hey, could happen again. Just could go right back to where we were. And some other poor soul is going to have to do all that Aaron had to do and choose and blah, 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 blah. And it's kind of back to catastrophic pre-modernity setting almost. So it's this weird thing that for me, what I was left with is life is painful, it's cyclical, it's gonna blow up. So enjoy these precious little moments that you have, like throwing a baseball and running up a hill. And that's kind of what I felt like the show left me with. If you gotta commit genocide to do it, just hope your buddy does it for you.
Yeah.
So that you're the one throwing the baseball.
For me, it was all literal.
Oh.
Nice.
Please tell me.
No symbolism. It was, like Johnny said, peace in their time. Mikasa lived to a long age. That city that's in the background, perfectly fine. And then modern city gets built. So hundreds of years of peace. And then obviously an invading army comes and destroys it and bombs it to all get out. And then alone, you know, some scavenger kid, he finds that same tree. Aaron's head is under there. And you know that centipede thing wants to reattach to Aaron's head. So you know it's dwelling underneath that tree.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is starting up again. And I kind of love that.
Start
as a story.
The engine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's not a metaphorical, like, oh, it's kind of like how Ymir. No, it's exactly that situation. That's what I think. And I'm sticking to it.
Makes it all pointless.
Right. Yeah. It's going to happen again.
We wasted so many hours of watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Nope. So, loved it. Did you guys enjoy? It. Yeah. Okay. I was going to ask. So, did you guys enjoy the ending?
Yeah,
such a complex story needs a complex ending, and I loved it.
I did enjoy the ending. So I definitely finished the series, and it was like it's like when you close a book and you're like, that was good. Like I'm really glad I read this. Maybe I'll read it again. But I'm not left wanting more. And I'm also not disappointed. Like, oh, you left so many loose ends. Like, what happens? It was like, okay, that was great. It's not a common feeling. I'm going to be honest. And I'm not saying it was the perfect show. I'm just saying that it tied up its storylines.
Mm-hmm.
I think it did it well.
Yep.
And it felt like a completed series to me.
You don't think it was perfect? I feel like the show is near perfect.
You think the whole show is near perfect without
any
flaws?
The whole thing.
Well, we can get into your rankings.
Like, I'm saying objectively, I think it's near perfect.
It is. I mean, I would have to sit and think about it. I just said that. I would have to like literally sit down and think about what exactly makes it not perfect. But you are correct. It is. I mean, it's literally somewhere in the top three, because I mean it was third before I finished this, so we'll have to talk about that. But you know, three out of like 70 some shows is obviously pretty dang high for before this episode, and I'm saying it was great. So
I want to comment on that. Yeah, I objectively I think I would agree to that. Like it, this the way the story went, the storyline, how it all tied together, how you were left with like that the finality but not finality, like just the fact that it's going to keep going. But yeah, from beginning to end, that is a complete story. It didn't go a crazy direction. It walked you all the way to this point. I agree with that 100%. Subjectively, I wasn't happy with the ending, but it wasn't enough. I've gone back and forth on this. It wasn't enough to just say that ruined the show for me. It didn't do that. It did not do that. It did drop for me in my rankings, but it is still very high. I still think very highly of the show, both objectively and subjectively. But the fact that ultimately, like, Aaron made this decision based on X, Y, and Z, and the friends supported that, that made the ending a little less impactful to me, just on the emotion side for me. But yeah, objectively, I 100% agree with Kolb's statement.
Yes.
Johnny, I think you had already texted that you enjoyed the ending. So you want to elaborate?
Yeah. So I think I said this in the previous episode, but when you have a complex show, I always feel it's very hard to actually get a satisfying ending, or at least an ending that kind of is somewhat on par with the same level of hype or expectation that previous episodes of that series has had. I really have loved Attack on Titan. It's one of my favorite shows, if not my favorite show of all time, not just anime. Wow. And so coming into the ending, I'm obviously like was very nervous because I was just like,
sure.
One, I don't want them to mess it up. And I don't think they messed it up. And then, you know, for me, I was like, I just want like like, I think what was the check mark or whatever. Like, I just want them to, you know, to know what's going on, like that they could explain the ending pretty well. And I felt like this ending was very good. I don't think it's like the best ending of all time. It didn't like blow my mind or anything, but I think it was a good ending. And I think it wrapped up the series very, very well, which I was very shocked actually going into it. Cause I just thought there were definitely some episodes in season four where I was just like, what are they doing? So yeah, for them to like have a good ending, in my opinion, was kind of a shock. And so maybe that's why I appreciate it more right now, because my expectations were low. But
I would say, yeah, taking the whole show together as a complete package is what makes it a good show, because that's why I think I gravitated towards Cole when I said near perfect. There are moments where like we look back and we're like, what the heck were they doing? But then like, I haven't yet to do this obviously, cause we just watched the finale, but to watch the whole show then with this ending in mind will probably change some things of those moments of like, what is happening right now? Like, what are you doing? And it'll just change things, because you're like, oh, this is what's going on. This is the bigger picture. This is even the behind the scenes bigger picture that's happening. And yeah, it does, like, objectively, it really ties a bow on things. And regardless of your subjective feelings, you really can't say they left everything undone or storylines didn't get resolved. Now, you can not like certain storylines, you can not like that certain things happen, but there was a continuous thread, like Ben was saying, and that's just not as common, I feel like, in shows, modern shows. So to me, it spoke of a continuous writing, like with an ending in mind, not just like, oh, I'm going to keep going until it's done, and then I got to write an ending, which is I've definitely seen happen
in too many times.
Specifically in animes, yeah, but also in other shows like Lost.
True.
You know,
very true.
Raved about show until people are like, I hate this. I hate it, rather than it's like, oh, the ending was bad. Like my friends that grew up watching it, and then they're like, this is the most amazing show ever. They're like, I can't even touch Lost anymore.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's sad. It's sad when it's like, oh, you had this amazing thing and then you blew it. Now, one thing I'm curious about, and we don't need to talk about this, but as we're talking, I'm curious if the ending is exactly the same as the manga. From what I've heard, the manga stay and the anime stay very similar, if not perfectly similar, all the way through. But I don't know if that.
What part of the ending?
I don't know. Like, I am just curious if it was the exact same. If it is, you know, more power to them. That's great, because that means that the creator did all this exactly the same. I don't know if, because we got basically these two movies, if anything got cut out is what I'm wondering. Because that was a lot of the comments online. It's like, they've got this many chapters and they got this much to do, without spoiling anything. So I wondered if at the end of it is like, did anything get changed? I would never know until I read it. But I'll be curious. I probably will try to read it at some point. It'd be a fun way to re-go through the series.
Yeah, I think it has a lot of replay, this whole show. So it's going to be fun to rewatch it.
Well, I know Johnny's anime list is mega long, so it's going to take him a while to sort through where it falls in his anime rankings. But, you know, ours is much considerably shorter than his. So Ben has already hinted that his rankings, it dropped in his rankings, maybe all the way to the bottom. We'll never know until five seconds until he tells us. But I am curious, because it's important. Where does Attack on Titan rank for you individually? Johnny has just said it might be the best show of his entire viewing career, let alone anime.
Yes.
So we'll start at the top there. And then Ben, we'll get to the bottom, and, you know.
Can I give a few miscellaneous items? Just take 2 minutes of our time here.
Let's do it.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. I just wrote a few random things that we either predicted or talked about or quoted from our last episode. One quote or kind of prediction from Johnny was just even, I think we might have talked about this today, but, you know, asking how much Zeke is in control of the Beast Titan, like when it was revealed last episode, what went on here. And Johnny's like, yeah, I don't really know. I don't think Zeke is in the nape. Seems like a Warhammer situation. And I was like, nailed it. That was so good. Cole with the pinata Zeke comment was really funny. Johnny brought out the quote.
It's from all Johnny.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's some other ones here. but was just kind of talking about how, like, Aaron's feelings was this. I'm going to kill everyone. They killed my mom, and now I'm pissed. Think about that statement now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like our perception was Aaron was really mad because someone did that to his mother. Boy, what we know now. Chess talked about last episode, like, not feeling bad at all for, like, Aaron, like, struggling to want to do this. And you were kind of bummed how, like, the show was painting him in a sympathetic light, like that we need to feel bad for him. You kind of brought that out quite a bit, and that really set the stage here for what ended up happening. And lastly, and then you guys can give comments if you want, but we debated, like, if we were going to be satisfied with the timing of just having one part left. And I think everyone, well, I think Johnny and maybe Colb as well was hoping for more. And really at the end of the day, we were all hoping for more. Colb said, I think it's going to be 50 minutes of fighting and then 10 minutes to wrap it all up. And that's basically what happened too. The last little section was just that kind of the storytelling. And then you're like, unless Aaron wins, then it's just going to go on, or it's going to be all fighting. It was just, So just some fun trinkets there.
Colb wasn't too far off because it was an hour of fighting and 30 minutes of wrap up. So statistically, probably about the same, which is great. That's fun. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
Also, fun little thing. So I don't know if you guys noticed this, but so we thought that the whole time that Ymir was waiting for Aaron, but she was waiting for Mikasa.
She's waiting for Mikasa because Mikasa could end her suffering.
Yes. She's like Ymir, but she could get out of the Stockholm syndrome that Ymir is in, which I thought was kind of cool. And it makes me want to rewatch the show even more to see, you know, some of the parallels.
So many things. I'm going to have to rewatch it.
So many.
I give Levi credit for that because he's like, hey, you with me? Let's go kill Aaron. And she's like, I can't do it. He's like, shut up. Just do it.
That's right. Shut up. Kill him.
Levi is actually the hero here.
Oh, no. Speaking of which, we have to, if I can have the floor for a moment. So Levi says, I have no regrets for choosing Armin over you, talking to Erwin. So my question is not, did you switch? Do you want to switch any of that? But, and this is even the chess now, because you kind of switched. Are you guys now at peace with the decision, seeing the whole story? Are you at peace with the decision? Are you okay with it? Is it still like, no, 100%, I'm talking objectively here, 100% it still should have been Erwin, after kind of hearing from Levi again and seeing what Armin ended up doing, positively, negatively, are you at peace with the decision?
100% yes. Because my thought is, so I love Commander Erwin because he's able to influence soldiers to literally go and die. I think that's so cool. But Armin, and you see this like early, like I think like episode 10 of the first season, where he gives this like great speech and he's trying to influence, you know, not soldiers to go and die for him, but like he's trying to convince them. And I think that's like really needed here in this final episode where he's convincing Zeke and Bertholdt and, you know, Grisha or whoever, right, you know, to come and fight for them. And that's, I think, what was needed more than like Erwin creating an army to try to stop Aaron or something like that.
I do think as well, not because of who he is, not because of who Erwin is, but just because of how we learn the story plays out and what Eren's doing, like, that would have spelled the end a lot quicker. Because Erwin doesn't have any sway with Eren. He's not a part of Eren's crew. And so if Armin had died, a lot of things would have been different. Even interactions with Annie and, like, different things like that. And so Erwin would have just gone a whole different route and would have been much more classic in how he fought Eren. And I think that it would have spelled the, like, it we wouldn't have had this ending. Let's put it that way. It's not going to be a one-to-one switch. It would have just been Eren, like, walking through with his plan. Because the last person that he spent the most time, well, that we saw on camera, talking to was Armin. And, like, and even Armin saying, like, yeah, I was part of this plan with you, and I influenced you, and you influenced me, and then you sacrificed for me, and... So if I feel like it would have made Eren more angry if one of the people who was trying to save actually ended up dead. Yeah. So he might have killed 100% of the world.
I'm also at peace with it. Because it was definitely the relationship aspect that kind of won the battle here. Relationship between Eren and Mikasa and Eren and Armin. So yeah, Erwin would not have had that same connection with Eren through this whole situation. So looking like at the end of the battle, Levi saying, I don't regret my choice. I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't. Like, that was the right choice now that we know all of this other information. So yeah, I'm more at peace with it. But I'm still justifying my choice of Erwin back then.
Sure. I said what I said, right? We all said what we said. Yeah, go ahead, Johnny.
So, okay. So Eren knows the future. He talks to, you know, each of his friends. He tells them what he's going to do. Okay. So no one of the squad, the Avengers crew, none of them die. And it's almost as, and like, obviously, like, to me, it's like, it's almost like everything is like staged, you could say. Like, Eren knows none of them are going to die. This final fight, you know, he's made it a future. He's going down the future route that all his friends are going to live, which makes, like, for me, that kind of made me bummed out a little bit with this, with like all the fun action scenes. Cause it's like, okay, it's kind of like a staged event, you know? I don't know if you guys felt anything similar like that.
I think for me, by the time it got to that point, like, it did feel a little set in stone. However, to get to that point, like, the realization of even like the decision with sending someone to eat his mom, like, he had to do all of that. So there's a lot of places to jump off the bandwagon. And he could have just not fallen, gone through with it. So it is it's a long road for it to reach this point. And so the weight of that probably overcame like any disappointment I had. Cause you also don't learn about it until the very end. And in hindsight, you're like, oh, it's not that they had like whatever it's called when your main characters are bulletproof and they can't die. That's true, but it's for a very specific plot reason. Not just like, oh, they're Jean. We're not going to kill Jean. He's going to turn back into human. Yay. Which I was happy about. But yeah, yeah, so it didn't bother me too much. Because it was the whole goal of Eren.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chess. If they had said that like two or three seasons ago where Eren's like, I know, I've seen the future, none of you die. Like, that would have been annoying. Like, we all know it's predetermined. You're all going to survive because I'm making it that way. That would have been annoying, but if it's a hindsight thing, it didn't bother me that much.
It bothered me. I'm actually glad you brought it up, Johnny. Yeah, I thought the way the fighting was going and like early on, Reiner gets his head bit off and I just like stop breathing like, oh my goodness. And then like multiple times Peek is like getting attacked and you're like, oh wow. And then after. So I think we've discussed in other podcasts, I realize this whole future or past thing is a lot, but we enjoy a good death in anime. It goes a long way. And so I was bummed that none of them moved on, if you will. That would have been the emotion that I was looking for that I didn't get at all. in the end.
Yeah, I think that the only like hindsight, like they like are like the like a glimpse of what was going to happen was we knew that like Mikasa and Armin were going to live because that's what the owl tells Grisha. Like, you need to do this so that Mikasa and Eren or Mikasa and Armin can live. And he's like, who the heck is Mikasa and Armin? So, like, I going into this, I thought those were probably going to be the only two to live. And then, like, now it's like, oh, okay, like, everybody live. That's kind of weird, especially for a show that literally, you know, the previous episode we just watched, you know, everybody die.
Also, well, it's interesting that he said that because he didn't say Eren. He said Mikasa and Armin. Mikasa and Armin. It's so that, like, did he say that so Eren's plan could go into effect, or did he say that because Eren needed them to at least keep the Eldians and everybody else alive? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, so many things. So many things.
So many.
Also, I got, there's one scene, I do want to talk about this really quick. There's one scene we missed, and it's, I think, like the saddest scene that my wife was like, okay, okay, they just got to stop. And it's, it's the baby scene.
The baby. Oh, gosh, no. Oh. Okay. I'm so glad they saved that child. I was about to literally lose the baby fell off the cliff.
Same. And
I thought it was such a cool, like so they've kind of made similarities that the Eldians that are in Marley are kind of like the Jews with Marley being Germany and Eldians being, you know, Jews and such. And so during, like, World War II. And so, you know, the baby, like the whole scene is in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And then the baby has like a red blanket on it, which to me was like an ode to Schindler's List. I don't know if you guys remember.
Yes.
The little girl's wearing red. Mm. And the whole movie's black and white, but the little girl's wearing red when the Germans are starting to execute the Jews.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Which could it was be. Just like, man. Yeah. That I thought scene, it was just kind of a cool.
It's very cinematic if that's the case.
Yeah,
I mean, I was, that scene
that was killing me. That was just killing me, and I was like, "You better not, no, don't you dare!" I know you have before, but don't do it again.
I know we literally watched you squish a child's head, but don't throw that baby off a cliff, please.
No,
Levi came to save the day, cut off Zeke's head, then he stopped.
Good for him.
Great reflexes on that guy, though.
Oh yeah! Oh my God!
The mom, the mom passes her up. He's like, "Oh, I got a baby. I better pass this up." Like he was as he was falling. Like, good on him. He's dead now, but he did a good thing.
MVP.
Yeah, he did do a good thing.
MVP.
Yeah.
All right.
Shout out to the MVPs.
That's all. That's all the additional things I have.
We could keep going for hours, so we won't. But we do need to know, Jess Colbin.
Ah, yes.
We do need to know where the rankings ended up. So, who wants to go first? It's basically the whole reason we did this. So,
it really is. I do all this. Colp, go.
I'll go first. Mine went down also, but not by much, just because of some other shows. It's down to number 9 now, so it's still in the top 10.
So wait, I do need to ask clarification. It stayed the same and other shows jumped above it, or it dropped down?
Okay. Oh, okay. Good clarifier. Sorry, okay. I thought they wrapped it up really well and the show is amazing. So it didn't, and these two installments didn't make it go down at all. But there were a few other shows that kind of just surpassed it. So
what shows were that?
Oh, let's see here. I think by that time it was My Hero Academia, Vinland Saga, and Demon Slayer. Those three passed it.
Yeah.
Dang, son.
And it's also because of the genre. I'm not a huge horror guy.
Oh dude.
So like that's why these other ones passed it easy. But I can recognize its brilliance. So that's why I have to keep it in the top 10. So it's at number 9.
Clarifier, I'm not a horror guy, but I am like a zombie guy. And this is right on that edge of like Walking Dead zombie.
Yeah, that's not horror.
Thriller. It's not. That's why I said I'm not a horror guy. But this hit right on that edge.
I was being sarcastic.
Oh.
Zombie is definitely a horror genre, right?
It's like its own genre. Because like...
Yeah, a little bit.
It's not like I just can't take a lot of the horror genre. But zombies ones, like, I love that one for some reason.
I distinguish the two as well. I agree.
It's like, all if you're right, like, you want to watch a horror movie, I'd say, nah. You're like, you want to watch a zombie movie? I'm like, yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah.
Where do you place it with monster movies?
I would not put them together, because my wife will watch zombie movies, but not horror movies. So,
monster movies, Cole? What do you mean?
Are zombies monsters to you?
No.
No, they're humans.
Like a monster is like a werewolf.
Okay.
Ben, what's your ranking?
Is a mummy a monster?
Thank you, Johnny. Ben, what's your ranking?
Nope, I gotta get this done.
We're only like 2 hours, 14 minutes in.
Yeah, it's great. It's 3 a.m. over here. I don't know what it is for you guys, but
it's the same time, but midnight.
Yeah, I'm in Japan right now. So Attack on Titan is now number 6 for me. Ooh. So it was number 5. It switched with Full Metal Alchemist. I was thinking this would happen. And it's just because, so Full Metal Alchemist is just boom, boom, boom. Just like so much of it is so good. And the ending is fantastic. I don't even have a smidge of, did I love that? I just said, I love the ending of this show. And so for having that, and Attack on Titan not having that for me, subjectively, those had the switch. It is right above Demon Slayer and Tokyo Revengers. If those two land with a slam dunk, like the ending of the entire show, I could see it jumping Attack on Titan as well. I think I like this genre a little bit more than Kolb does, but it also is not like my favorite. Genre. I like a little more like of the emotion, and like Demon Slayer is a really good example. Like, oh, some of those just powerful emotional moments with some of the characters. But yeah, Attack on Titan, great show. Number 6. This one's for you.
And just to give some context, that's number 6 out of 38 for Ben, and out of Kolb, you had it at 9, but out of 86. So still quite dang high. Mm-hmm. I am coming in at, let's see here. It's like 70s. 75 shows for me. And I'm going to be honest. Right now, it's at number 2.
I knew.
Whoa!
Look at that!
Yeah. Wow. Because Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, Full Metal Alchemist/Brotherhood, first place. Not gonna change. Haikyuu is number 2. Attack on Titan has ended, and I loved the whole show, and I do love this genre. Like, I love that we started with this like mystery island that was zombie-esque and it was terrifying, and then as you learn more, like, this huge world opened up and it just came together. It's a great story. Haikyuu is set up to end similarly with a movie or multiple movies, and I'm a little worried. I'll be very honest. I know this means nothing to Johnny, but I'm very worried about how this will end. Attack on Titan pulled all the threads together, and I respect that a lot. So I'm going to move it up to number 2, and we'll see what Haikyuu does. Haikyuu's also delayed. Like, we were supposed to get some news and stuff, and it's not happened. And so I'm a little worried. Delays, lack of communication, things are just making me scared for how that's going to end. And so I'm going to bump Attack on Titan up to number 2. I also love that genre over, like, sports genres as well. So Haikyuu being in number 3 is still, like, a huge surprise twist for me. But yeah, Attack on Titan is number 2 show for me.
Look at that. You are now Johnny's favorite person on the podcast.
You are. Cold is horrible. Ben is horrible. Yeah. Chess, you are great.
It took me a minute to get. I had to climb the ranking slow with Johnny, but I got there.
Yep.
I just kept paying attention as we
played the long game with him.
If I put it at number two,
he's got my heart.
He'll drop Ben out of his. I'm in his top spaces in MySpace now. So
yeah, right now I would rank Chess number 1, Ben number 2, Cold number 3, literally based off your own rankings of AOT.
Yep. There you go. That's good.
I mean, it's fair. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with folks, bronze.
Nothing wrong with bronze.
Yeah, there is.
It's just the second loser.
You think America's happy when they get a bronze?
Touche. They're not ever.
Yeah.
No.
Or silver. Well, that squeaky mouse is back. Yeah. Everybody, you've stuck with us. If you've made it to the end of this episode,
yeah. Wow.
Impressed. This was completely just so we could, us four could just debrief our feelings. We really don't even, probably are not going to be bothered if no one listens to this. It was just worth it to sit in a room remotely with Johnny and talk about how we felt. And have some sparkling water, regular water, whiskey, and champagne Miller High Life.
This is most likely going to be our highest ranked episode. People love Johnny and they love AOT. They listen to these episodes.
Johnny, did you know that you are featured in multiple of our highest ranked episodes?
Really?
Yep. Our highest ranked episode is the AOT episode where we also went through the introduction songs. Mm. And then the second one is your first AOT episode.
Nice.
Yep. So there you go.
Doesn't that mean, though, that like I'm just getting worse and worse because those are like the first two episodes I did with you guys. So
I mean, probably. You can look at it how you want, but you're still out of 100 and some episodes, you're still our most listened episodes. So, nice. You know, tomatoes.
Happy to be here.
Tomatoes, potatoes.
Ah.
All that means is our viewership is going to tank because AOT is done and Johnny's not coming back. So we are never going to get any listens again.
Welcome back,
Johnny P. Next time you come around, Cole will probably get that timing down pat.
Oh, yeah. Wow. All that practice, guys, and we didn't even nail it. My goodness.
Gotta love technical difficulties.
My bad.
Ben went through this whole thing with us, Johnny, right before the recording of like, I'm going to point at you and you're both going to say, welcome back. And then I obviously said it and Cole did not. And I was like so befuddled as to what happened. And then he is the camera for us. So.
I was waiting for it. And then I heard Chest yelling and I'm like, oh no, I missed it.
Yep. Oh, whoops.
You tried to redeem it by then yelling it later. And I loved it.
Yeah, I did appreciate that.
I love that you still put it in there. So it was good.
I didn't appreciate it. You should have started singing when Chess was singing. So.
Sorry.
That's true.
That's why you're last in my ranking.
It's a bad night for me and you, Johnny. It started off bad and now number 9 in my list.
Just worse.
Next time you come back, I just won't be here.
That's right.
Well, next time he comes back, he still won't visit you. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Johnny, it has been a pleasure to have you remotely join us from across the country. I don't know where you drove halfway across the country to remotely join us, but we're glad you did it. We hope that next time you come on, you'll have moved, had another child, bought a van, maybe just one of those things. Well, two of those things. We hope your child comes and we hope you buy a van. So 2 out of 3 is not bad. But yeah, fellas. Cheers to the end. Yes.
Raise your glasses.
As Johnny said aptly, a good pun never dies. The end of an errand.
Hear, hear. To Johnny. Yeah.
To Johnny.
To genocide.
What do you get when you add 2 plus 1? You get 3 dads talking about anime. What do you get when 3 guys love anime? You get 3 dads talking about anime. What do you get when those 3 guys love
guys start having kids, children, dads, and so
become fathers
and each have kids separately?
Went on each didn't play separate house.
Ways.
What happens?
So
you get 3 dads talking about anime. 3 dads talking about anime.